The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. Guy here, back from Las Vegas for the second time in a month. That's a lot of Vegas for your boy at the Pac-12 tournament. It was a great time. Some NCAA tournament takes coming up later in the show and later in the week. But first, I returned from Vegas on Sunday to discover that we're still talking about, or we're talking again about, Zach Wilson, which is fine. I think the other interesting thing that happened over the last few days was something that Daniel Jeremiah tweeted, in which he said, the strong expectation around the NFL right now is that four of the top six picks will be quarterbacks. That happened around the time that the Minnesota Vikings made their first move of what will be another move to move up and try and get a quarterback. The indications are they don't think they can get one, at least not one they want, with the 11th pick this year. So that lines up with DJ's tweet. And it means that the Vikings are going to try and do what the 49ers already tried and failed to do, or it means that the Vikings think that when the Niners moved up and eventually drafted Trey Lance, one pick after Zach Wilson, that they didn't totally screw up. Everybody views it as one of the worst trades. Some call it the worst trade in NFL draft history. And the Vikings seem to think the Niners might have been on to something. More on that in a second. Quickly, though, a reminder that if you're watching this on YouTube, great. Hi. It's Monday. The NCAA tournament is this week. Big week ahead. NFL free agency was wild last week. More things are still going to happen. So if you're here on YouTube, like the video and subscribe to the channel. If you're listening to the podcast, that's great. Thank you. Leave a review, Apple Podcast, 5 stars. In that review, leave a question. And we are going to, it's a Hey Guy mailbag. The mailbag is coming back, or the mailbag is beginning, however you want to look at it, and we'll get to it. Look at all of the crazy stuff people are doing to not win championships in the NFL when it comes to quarterback. It happens every year. It's happening again this year. The Falcons are paying Kirk Cousins $90 million, basically $100 million guaranteed, $90 million over the course of 2 years in 24 and 25, which makes them better. Actually, I think the Steelers should have done this, but the Steelers would rather get QBs for free. Oh, we got value, the Steelers will say, out of Russell Wilson. I mean, think about how good he'll be relative to his $1 million salary. Not good enough to win you multiple playoff games, or Justin Fields for that matter. $15 million guaranteed to Gardner Minshew, $18 million to Tyrod Taylor. So the Vikings surveyed the landscape. They wanted Kirk Cousins. All the reports are at like a one-year guaranteed deal. Kirk wanted multiple years of guarantee, right? If Kirk comes back to the Vikings for a deal that only guarantees him, say, $45 million this year, then he knows they can draft their quarterback with the 11th pick, not fully invest in this year's team, and then pivot off of him in 2025, which is probably what they wanted to do. But he didn't want to do that, so he's out. And so Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah, the former 49er front office member, looks around and goes, well, what's our move? And what the Vikings have decided their move is the Trey Lance trade. The Vikings did a deal with the Texans to now acquire a second first round pick. They have the 23rd pick. So they now have the 11th pick and the 23rd pick. They're going to need those two picks plus probably a couple other picks to move up into the top six, into the top five, to do what they're going to want to do, which is draft a quarterback. Now, they're not going to get the first shot at a quarterback. They're probably not going to get the second shot at a quarterback. But like the 49ers back in the 2021 draft, they're probably going to get maybe the third, maybe the fourth shot at a quarterback. Now, quick review, what did the Niners do back then? They traded 12. They traded the 29th pick, what turned out to be a second-round pick the next year, a first-round pick, and another third-round pick. So they traded two ones, a two, a three, to move up for Trey Lance. And, well, we all know how that story ended. So I think people look at it and go, well, that was stupid. No one's going to do that again. But the Vikings are clearly doing it again. The Vikings, I think, view liquidating your draft picks for your quarterback as value in and of itself before we even evaluate whether or not you got the right quarterback. It's not really discussed much, and I'm fine with it not getting discussed much because the Niners went all in on Trey Lance and it failed, so people don't really want to give them any credit for any part of the trade. But part of the 49ers' evaluation was, at least we're going to get a cheap quarterback. They failed on development. What they didn't fail on was saving money on their first-round quarterback to allow them to not only maintain cap space to keep their stars, extend their stars, but even to acquire a star, as it turned out, like Christian McCaffrey. Ultimately, with hindsight, the argument of Fields versus Lance, or even Zach Wilson, had the Niners had that option, was irrelevant. All three of them failed miserably, but the Niners did have Brock Purdy fall in their lap, and that was the gift of Brock, is that the Niners had some logic. The logic backfired. They kept their cap space. Brock fell in their lap, and they were able to seemingly pick up right where they left off. Like, if you ever seen someone running, they trip and fall, they tumble. 9 times out of 10, they smash their face up. 1 time out of 10, they do that, like, somersault and pop back up and keep running. That's basically what the 49ers did out of the 21 draft. They didn't intend to trip. Somehow they picked up, kept on going. And the part of their logic, which was at least it's cheap to draft a quarterback in the first round, worked out. It got even cheaper, it turned out, because they draft a quarterback in the 7th round. And the Vikings are trying to do the same thing. The Vikings looked at that. Now, Adolfo Mensah, was not part of the 49ers front office at that time. He was already with the Browns, but he's using the same logic. Now, when you're in the position the Vikings are in, you never look at it and go, well, if it's Trey Lance, if it's bad, it'll still be worth it. But, you know, because you think like, oh, J.J. McCarthy, that's going to be a hit. But you've got to acknowledge your hit rate is going to be really low here. You're more hoping than anything else. But when your options are pay Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed dollars in the next 2 years, you go, we've already tried that. Let's try this. The Vikings this year have the most dead cap money of any team in the NFL. It's like $60 million dead cap dollars. It's mostly Danielle Hunter and Kirk Cousins. But next year, they're going to have a ton of space. They're going to have a second-year quarterback. They will have liquidated their draft for this year and maybe next year in the first round. But in the end, they're looking at the cap space available to them, and they think, well, we're going to pay Justin Jefferson. We've got a couple other guys to pay, like TJ Hawkins, and that's fine. He's a tight end. It won't be that expensive. We got a couple other guys after him. We'll have a rookie quarterback, and we can spend a bunch of money in free agency and reset from the Kirk Cousins era. So it's just kind of wild to see it. As I was thinking about it, I'm like, God, everyone hates that Trey Lance trade, myself included. But the Vikings are doing the exact same thing. The 49ers traded 12 and 29. The Vikings are going to trade 11 and 23. Plus, you know, it turned out to be 29 the next year. But maybe they'll trade both first this year to move up, and they won't have to trade next year's first. So maybe it'll be like, for example, the Vikings trade this year will be like 11 and 23 plus a 25 second round pick and something else, right? That's probably what their trade will end up being. And it's exactly what the Niners did. You know, now the Niners pick, you know, it failed because Trey Lance was not good, just like Zach Wilson, not good, just like Justin Fields, not good. And that's where there's blame all around on these teams, right? There's blame on Trey Lance for not being good enough. There's blame on Justin Fields for not being good enough. There's blame on Zach Wilson. The blame is really on the teams for the misevaluation, right? When you look at all three situations and the discussion after the Fields thing, and it'll happen again with Zach Wilson, is like, well, you know, it's historically bad first round. Like, what a bad, and Mac Jones for that matter. What a awful first round. And we'll see if Trevor Lawrence turns out to be any good. But what a bad first round. These guys are terrible. Yeah, well, also blame the teams. Blame the evaluations. Blame the situations. The 49ers brought Trey Lance into an awkward spot. You know, I've said many times I was wrong about it. I thought it was such a great position for Trey to be in. Turned out it was a bad position. For Brock, it was a good position. But for Trey, who needed more development, who'd only played a game the previous year, the year before that, was a, you know, a full starter. But at North Dakota State, here's Brock, who's a, you know, a multi-year starter in the Big 12. For Trey, he just needed a lot of development, and putting him into a spot where you had to perform right away with veterans all around, star players, a team ready to win. It was a mismatch. It was a mismatch in what Trey needed versus what the team needed. And they made a bad evaluation. We'll find out as time goes on. I think right now the bet is clearly from me. Well, they also just straight up misevaluated the player. But more fundamentally, they misevaluated where he was in his development. The Bears, they put Justin Fields in a bunch of bad spots. They fired his coach after the first year, gave him another coach. So just to start with that, it was a bad deal. Last year they decided, and I think correctly so, I was, you know, the Bears did the right thing. Some thought they should have moved on from him last year. Clearly they had their doubts. But when they did the deal to get Carolina's pick, or to give Carolina their pick for a bunch of picks in return so that Carolina could go draft a quarterback who doesn't look like he's their future either, and Bryce, they were basically saying, let's plan for the big picture. We're not going all in this make or break year for Justin Fields to make him as good as possible. It was the right move, but they didn't do everything they possibly could to support Justin Fields. The Jets definitely did not do everything they could. Zach Wilson and the Jets timeline was clear very quickly. It was off. We're talking about a guy, Zach Wilson, who played more than Justin Fields did his senior year. But man, the teams he played against, Troy, I went back and looked at BYU's schedule from 2020, Zach Wilson's year that he shot up draft boards. Zach Wilson was a good prospect coming out of high school. He was a solid prospect going into his last year at BYU, but people did not think he was about to be the second player drafted. You go back and watch that year. I remember watching a lot of his games. They had a mismatch between their talent and their opponent's talent. And so what happened was he looked incredible. Zach Wilson was playing in these pockets that were massive. He was playing Troy, La Tech, UTSA, solid program, Texas Tech, Houston, Western Kentucky, Boise State, North Alabama, Coastal, SDSU, and UCF. Now, the Coastal game he lost, the Coastal Carolina game he lost, they kicked his ass that game. Then they determined, you know what, he's not ready. Let's get Aaron Rodgers in here. And I thought maybe, just maybe, this is the moment he needs to take a breath and develop. And that obviously blew up. They made him the starter after Rodgers gets hurt. He doesn't show much development, isn't ready for it. But the good news is Aaron's going to hang around and mentor him. Not Aaron stopped replying to his text messages, apparently, or at least they didn't interact in the way that he wanted. No shocker. And off he went. Where next? We'll see. I was coming up from air yesterday from Vegas, multiple naps between the plane landing and this morning, to see that we're talking about Zach Wilson as a Niner again. And I understand it. I mean, it makes sense. If you're Zach Wilson, you'd want to be a Niner. Sam Darnold just got $10 million from the Minnesota Vikings. The report I heard Diana Russini say, the Broncos also wanted Sam Darnold. So Darnold had a market. The money reflected it. If you're Zach Wilson, do you want to come play for the 49ers? You absolutely do. If you're the 49ers, do you want Zach Wilson? Well, if I'm the 49ers, no, thank you. What does it mean to the Niners that Sam Darnold got rehabilitated and got $10 million? Nothing. Not a damn thing. They didn't get anything for it. unlike Darnold, Zach Wilson is not viewed as a great locker room guy, a down-to-earth friend to all. Unlike Darnold, he's not viewed as that tough, right? I think for people who really watched the tape on Zach Wilson last year, the feeling is, and in his career, not so much just last year, but the feeling is the thing that everyone always held against Sam Darnold, that clip of him on the sideline saying, "I'm seeing ghosts," is actually what's happening with Zach Wilson, that he just doesn't hang in the pocket. Now, he makes some spectacular plays. Physically, he's very talented. The throw he made that was an incompletion rolling left back across his body, I don't know, 50, 60 yards into the end zone against the Raiders last year was an incredible throw. Like Darnold, there are questions as to whether he can see the field well enough. And unlike Darnold, he doesn't really fit into the 49ers locker room. I'm not interested. No, Darnold does net a comp pick, so you did get something out of it. So that would be the argument, I guess. Can you bring Zach Wilson in, get him one preseason game, one week 18 game, have him look good, and get a comp pick out of it? I'm not all that interested. He is talented, but I'm not that interested. So I have to check on where the there's some voting going on the live stream right now. Do people want Zach Wilson or not? I'll give that a peek here and see what the people are saying. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Count me in the no category for Zach Wilson. Do I think the 49ers locker room, if suddenly we look up and Zach Wilson's a Niner, is strong enough to handle it? Is Brock Purdy strong enough to handle it? I mean, yeah, definitely. Duh. But why mess around with it when you could have a quarterback backing up Brock Purdy who really knows your offense and who you can trust to execute here or there? Now, if you're looking at him, maybe you're viewing him as your third quarterback. Development, make him look good in a couple of preseason games. I'm not going to lie. Going to 49ers training camp practices would get much more interesting if Zach Wilson were there. From a content standpoint, I'm into it. Pro Zach Wilson. If you told me, Guy, your final word here will be the vote on whether the Niners bring in Zach Wilson or not, I'd be very selfish and say, bring him in. Let's do some videos. But if I were actually in charge, I wouldn't do this. No thanks. The vote right now, 66% of people say no to Zach Wilson and the Niners. 34% of people say yes. It's intriguing. Don't get me wrong. It's intriguing, but I'm not into it. You know, one of the other moves, I'm not going to go signee by signee on some of the guys the Niners added. Although, honestly, looking at the list, we've talked about most of them last week. Niners added a couple little special teams help. But for the most part, you know, John Feliciano back, Chris Conley back, two moves that I was for, I expected. I like Feliciano for what he gives them. You don't necessarily need him, want him. Are you going to come back with Feliciano and Burford rotating at right guard and McKivitz at right tackle? I don't want to run that back, but he has proven to be a very useful piece for them. But the one that did stand out to me was Devondre Campbell, the pivot from Eric Kendricks. And I know when we talked about Eric Kendricks last week, I liked the move. A lot of people didn't like the move, but I think he's better than Devondre Campbell. The Niners do too. They tried to sign Eric Kendricks first. So, you know, we're not breaking anything crazy here. I know Devondre Campbell, I guess he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. Everybody mostly has a chip on their shoulder in the NFL, but I guess he's going to have a chip on his shoulder and has said that the Packers misused him. And so he's ready to prove to the world what he's got, which is great. It's fantastic. Niners played against him in a big spot very recently, so they know exactly what he's got. You know, in preparation for the Niner-Packer playoff game, I watched a lot of the Packers linebackers and wasn't impressed. So it's fine. You were in a tough spot. He's a pro. That's good. But, you know, this is not – when I see that signing, I go, all right, Dre Greenlaw, time to get back. So, you know, solid. That's fine. I'm not particularly optimistic. I guess the place to land on it is this. I'm not expecting, I'll be very pleasantly surprised if we look up and go, man, the Packers were using Devondre Campbell. Wrong. He's a monster. I think he's going to miss tackles in space. He's going to get beat. And on a defense that has some questions, but also has some strengths, I think he'll prove to be one of the weaker links. That's where I'm at with that signing. You had to get somebody. Kendricks left you high and dry. So you got somebody. But I think the Packers will turn out to be correct on the evaluation there. But again, Devondre Campbell can prove them and me wrong, and that'll be a great thing for the Niners. But as I said, going back to getting ready for the Niner-Packer game, my eval was the Packers linebackers were going to be a weakness against the 49ers. And so for that reason, did what they had to do, but I don't love the signing. Okay. A couple other things to mention before I get to some of your comments. Back from the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas, the last one, I wasn't working, although I found my way into several camera shots because I always know where the camera is. It was a great event. I loved it. T-Mobile Arena, good arena for a basketball tournament. I'll be very interested to see, you know, when do one of these conferences bring a tournament to Vegas again for the conference tournament? Minneapolis, for example, is where the Big Ten tournament is. Vegas is a great place for a basketball tournament. T-Mobile Arena, it's where the hockey team plays. Pretty good arena for basketball. Awful food selection, but for the fans, but good arena. 5 stars from your boy. Go out to the Wynn Spa. 5 stars to the Wynn Spa. That place is awesome. Highly recommend, whether you're staying there or not, if you're going to Vegas and you need a spa, maybe your wife is like, find me a spa. Go to the Wynn. Everything's expensive everywhere when it comes to the spas. Right. So like your mediocre spas are going to be expensive. So go to a nice one. Go to a nice one. Highly recommend the Wynn Spa. 5 stars. 5 stars also to Bavette's Steakhouse in the Park MGM. You got to need a reservation. I can just walk in there. But Bavette's. Also 5 stars to the guy who gate checked my bag at Southwest Airlines, Daryl. They said name. I said Haberman. He said, go Niners. So Daryl. Gate checking bags at the B gates at Harry Reid, whatever that airport is in Vegas. Listener, shout out to Daryl. As for the Pac-12 tournament, kind of sad. Last one. That's why I went. Washington State and Oregon State. Going to play basketball in the WCC next year. Going to play football in the Mountain West. The feeling from some is that a version of the Pac-12 will exist again. Maybe Mountain West schools with Oregon State and Washington State. With that branding, with that logo, that sort of thing. And one other piece of college basketball news I'm interested in is seeing what Stanford does at head coach. I think it's going to be Kyle Smith from Washington State. One other note for you guys, because this every year, if you've been listening to the show for several years, you know that this drives me crazy. Every year, the NCAA tournament begins, and the brackets are terrible. You can never find a bracket with the dates, the TV channels, the times, and the locations, but there is one. Go to X, type in the name Matt Norlander. He makes it, and it's got everything on it that you want. Most brackets don't have everything on it that you want. This one's got everything on it that you want, so highly recommend. There's your bracket solve. I think I'm going to do, this show is mostly football. It's football mostly. But as those of you who've watched or listened for a while know, there's other stuff that pops in from time to time. And I know everyone wants to make their brackets this week. So I think Tuesday or Wednesday on the show, my buddy Casey Jacobson, who is just one of the smartest college basketball analysts out there on Fox, is going to stop by and we'll do like 10 minutes of just him giving you bracket rec. So if you want to do your bracket and you need an expert because you are like most people, not dialed in on college basketball till this time of the year. We'll have Casey on for a few minutes and break things down for you.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham. Code HAM.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone, go to your iPad, download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert? Get outside. Enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, the other thing that came out of the weekend was just the value, or not, you know, the Justin Fields trade, six rounder. Yikes. Cowboys, yikes. Traded a fourth for Trey Lance. "What are you doing?" was everybody's reaction then. And now everybody's reaction is, "What were you guys doing?" I saw some Cowboy fans were like, "Keenan Allen just got traded for a fourth." Now, Keenan was very expensive. You know, the Jets wanted him. The Texans were the other team reportedly in the mix for Keenan Allen. Goes to the Bears, and, you know, I don't know. The Cowboys, I guess, could have paid him, restructured. I don't know that Keenan wanted to do that was part of the problem, but that's what a fourth-round pick gets you. All right, to the comments, Texas Niners says, if the Niners could get Zach for pick 251, then I want Zach. I mean, I guess you could look at it like just nothing but value. But what I would say, and this is what I have said about not just Zach Wilson, the 49ers drafting any quarterback this year, is I wouldn't do it. And the reason I wouldn't do it is that the Niners have gotten productive players at other positions late rounds. Juwan Jennings in the seventh round. I mean, they do a really good job evaluating these positions late rounds in the draft. So I'm not particularly interested in using that pick on a quarterback. And I'm the same applies to a trade then, right? Like whether it's drafting a guy or trading for a guy, my move for the Niners would be Brandon Allen's the backup, go undrafted free agent or just free agent, wait for Zach Wilson to get cut something. But go undrafted guy and make him your third quarterback and move on. Brandon Allen knows the playbook. Brandon Allen has played in the NFL. Brandon Allen has been re-signed. Brandon Allen's your backup. Check another. Go check other boxes. The Niners need help. They need more linemen on both sides of the ball. They need more corners. I mean, in terms of like the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, draft another receiver, keep throwing darts at the receiver board. You know, it's not been critical of Ronnie Bell, the guy, just critical in like, you know, people wonder if he's the next man up. And I've said, I don't think the evidence is good yet that he is, but also he was very lowly drafted. So based on where he was drafted, you know, he's actually really promising. So I would throw darts at all those other positions other than quarterback. You've got your starter, you got your backup, and stick with it. Stick with it. Charlie says, hot take, Brock was a clear top five quarterback by the end of the 2024 season. You know, when we talk about Brock in this context, we're talking about two different things. Was he an MVP candidate versus, if you redrafted all the quarterbacks right now, would he go top five? Yes, he was an MVP candidate. No, I don't think he'd be one of the top five quarterbacks drafted if you made everybody a free agent right now. But what's not debatable is he played like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Doesn't really matter. Would somebody take him ahead of Justin Herbert? Would somebody take him ahead of Trevor Lawrence, right? If every quarterback became a free agent today and like in an expansion draft, guys got to add him, he's their quarterback. He was very good for them. There are things that Trevor Lawrence can do that he can't do, but I'm beginning to really believe there's just important things that Brock Purdy can do that Trevor Lawrence can't do. But none of that really matters. Yeah, he was playing like an elite guy, not just at the end of the year, most of the year. You know, you go back and look at the beginning of the year, and you go, it turns out what he did early when you wondered, can he maintain this? Yeah, he mostly maintained it. Are there things he still needs to prove? Of course there are. Sugar Knot says nobody in the 21 quarterback draft has improved. It's really stunning. I mean, I think, you know, you look at the draft and you go, well, at least Trevor Lawrence went one. That was correct. But time will tell. You know, he was viewed so highly. Like he went one and then Zach Wilson went two. Those guys were not viewed in the same stratosphere. This guy was viewed as like the next Andrew Luck level prospect. And yeah, I mean, he was worse in like every category last year, year over year. His completion percentage went down. His yards went down. His touchdowns went down. His interceptions went up. His QB rating went down. It's not trending. He's fumbles a ton. Trevor Lawrence has led the league in fumbles the last 2 years. So, you know, he's now going into year four when you stop being prospect and start being, it's time to prove it, guy. Mac Jones definitely regressed. Zach and Trey didn't regress. Justin Fields never improved. It's a ridiculous situation drafting quarterbacks. And it's why when I said to start like the gift of Brock Purdy, maybe the Minnesota Vikings are about to draft their franchise quarterback. Maybe JJ McCarthy is going to be their dude, but I don't envy the Vikings right now. Like if you're the Niners, you don't envy the Vikings. And I don't know how many like Vikings YouTubers there are out there. Their local radio, like they're fired up about it. It's way better content for them to have this going on than just having re-signed Kirk Cousins. But I wouldn't trade places with them if I were the Niners, right? You just wouldn't. Like, all right, here we are. We're about to maybe draft our franchise quarterback, or the odds are go through 2 to 3 years of quarterback misery before discerning that this guy just ain't the guy. Brutal. Marcon says, I still believe Chicago is the reason Fields is so bad. I don't. I mean, they're part of it. Believe I saw RG3's doing his thing today saying, if you were Caleb Williams, you should insist that the Bears don't draft you, pull an Eli Manning and say, I'm not going there. And I actually understand some of the logic of it. The Bears have been a mess. Diana Russini said that Kevin Warren, who's not in charge of football ops, just like the team president, came over from being the commissioner of the Big Ten. And, you know, the word is like has an interest in one day trying to become the commissioner of the NFL. That Kevin Warren is involved in some of the decision making there. In terms of just big picture, what should we do? Which is never good when people not involved in just football are making football decisions, but they want to build a new stadium. They say now it's going to be downtown. I think they're doing the right thing and I'm very confident that they're doing the right thing and pivoting to Caleb Williams. But I do understand the logic of look at this franchise historically. Look at the process of how they're making decisions. It's a bad place to be. That said, recently in the last, you know, like 16 months, they've made some really good decisions. And I think think about all your options, really. Where do you want to be then? Like, okay, RG3 says Caleb shouldn't go to Chicago. So where should he force himself to? Washington? Adam Peters. I mean, I like Adam Peters. I think he's a sharp guy. Are we sure that Washington's got it figured out? New England? Does New England have it figured out? I'm just going through the list. The Cardinals aren't going to do it. The Chargers aren't going to do it. The Giants? I mean, that is where Eli went. Do they got it figured out? Where do you want to go that feels like right now they got it figured out? Let's go to Denver. I mean, that'd be cool. Like if I were Caleb, yeah, sure. Let's go play for Sean Payton. But do they got it figured out? Who's got it figured out? That makes you the obvious, like, instead of here, let's go there. The beauty of Chicago, at least, and we saw this with Fields, and this is why I would not do that if I were Caleb Williams, and I don't think Caleb's going to do it. But the beauty of Chicago is if you want to be a star, if you think you are a star, you are a star when you're the Bears quarterback. You're not just a local star. You're a national story. Now, Caleb would be a national story no matter where he went. But it's a little less star power if you're the quarterback of the Titans, if you're the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. It's just less than if you're the quarterback of the Bears. You are a bigger deal if you're the Bears quarterback. Caleb's a big deal, and he's going to be a big deal. John says Caleb will be far more successful than Fields simply because he can stay in the pocket, make throws. That's just the surface. Now, as someone who watched all of Caleb at SC, a lot of the tape is Caleb running around. The concern with Caleb Williams is that he seeks out the home run at the expense of running the offense effectively. I think the reason he'll be more successful than Fields is because he's a far better player than Fields. He's better at creating. And I do think the projection, to John's point here in the comments, is that he'll be better at processing and running the offense than Fields was. I expect him to be. Don with a super chat. $5 says, with these QBs, you never know what they will see until they look at the NFL speed defense. It's true. I mean, you know, it's why when you see some of these guys come out of smaller schools, it's really impressive. I thought Trey Lance, it was one of the more alarming parts of the Trey Lance era, was that he didn't look better as a runner. And I think I was first. I mean, I don't say this much. I think on this one, I was first. Immediately, you can tell he was not the comfortable runner that we all thought he was. Now, it was pretty clear to everybody pretty quickly, like, oh, he's not running effectively. But I thought he looked extremely uncomfortable from the jump as a runner. And it was clear very quickly that NFL speed was different and that his comfort level was very different. Now, it might have been coaching, right? Maybe they tried to coach some of it out of him and then it made him very uncomfortable. That could have been it. But, you know, you're just never going to know until you see it, which is why people just bet on traits. Like, we don't know how these guys are going to adjust to speed. So let's just get the faster, bigger, stronger arm guy. If he doesn't read it as well, at least his arm is strong. So if he's late to the read, he can force the ball into a spot. You know, usually it doesn't really actually work out that way in the long term. But Andre says, if you can't complete a pass with accuracy, just not going to make it in the NFL. Yeah. If you can't complete a pass with accuracy, you're not going to do it with inaccuracy. Charlie says he'll be a bust. I'm betting on Caleb. I think Caleb's a pretty damn good prospect. Punk Jones adds a comment. If the Niners want Zach Wilson, they should wait it out. His contract makes him difficult to trade. Jets may end up cutting him. Wilson comes cheap. A cheap Wilson's worth having in your quarterback room. So I don't want Zach Wilson in the quarterback room, period. But I do agree with, it's a non-starter as a trade. I would trade nothing for him, not just because of what you trade, but because of what you pay. So I hate it. I'm a 0% interest in a trade. Well, I'm a 2% interest in a free agent acquisition. Let's see. Let's get to a few more here. Oh, somebody asked Kakoa Ace. Any collabs coming with Lombardi before the draft? The first video was really good. That was fun last week. If you guys didn't see it, David Lombardi and I did a show on Thursday morning, and after Vegas, it feels like 12 days ago. But yeah, we talked afterwards briefly. I'm sure we'll schedule something again. I had fun. David seemed like he had fun. You guys in the comments were very, very positive reaction to it. A lot of you guys watched on this channel. A ton of you watched on David's channel. You listened to it on my podcast feed. So that was all gravy for me. We loved it. Or I loved it. I think David did too. So yeah, I expect that we'll do it again. I don't know that we have a regular schedule on that, but I think we'll do it again. So appreciate it. To quote, what was the guy's name from that singing show? Gonna be a no for me, dog. Jackson, what was his first name? I use that line a lot, though. Randy Jackson. Yeah, it's gonna be a no for me, dog, on Zach Wilson. Don't do any favors for the Jets. They didn't let Ulbrich out of his contract. Yeah, those sons of bitches didn't give you their defensive coordinator, so you're not helping them out now. Alec asks, are you out of a job now with the Pac-12 debanding? So I did a lot of work for the Pac-12 network over the years, calling games, doing studio stuff. So that stuff has disappeared. Yes. We'll see what else we can do though, because, I love doing play by play, doing games, and, yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully there will be more of that from somewhere else. I've done stuff for other, I haven't had a full-time employer since 2016, since we left radio. So it's been a lot of 1099 jobs, as we've talked about here on the show. So I'm used to that hustle. And so we're trying to hustle it up, some play by play from somewhere else. So we'll see. But yes, the Pac-12 work. That's why I was. That's a big reason why I went to Vegas, was just to hang out with all these people that I'd worked with over the years, both at the Pac-12 Network and at the Pac-12 Conference. And I had a lot of fun. I was very happy that I went. We got to hang out a lot and appreciate the last moments of the. It's not the end of the network yet. There's still some, you know, like spring football and some gymnastics and baseball, right? A lot of that stuff going on, but football and basketball, obviously the biggest events. And that was the end of that event. So it's why I went to Vegas to go. My wife flew in on Friday and just to hang out with people and enjoy, see folks and all that. It was a great time. All right, more comments. What else we got? The 49ers had no business drafting Trey. I'm just trying to think of that from like a non-hindsight. Why not? They had to draft somebody. I thought their logic was good. Let's move up, get a cheap quarterback, try and hit on one of these guys. So, you know, like if they'd had the second pick, would it have gone better for Zach Wilson? Would it have gone better for Justin Fields? I'd like to say yes, that if Zach Wilson had been a Niner, it would have gone better for him. Or if Justin Fields had been a Niner, it would have gone better for him. But based on how poorly it went for Trey Lance, I'm not so sure. If Mac Jones had been a Niner, would that have been better than Trey Lance? Yes. Like Mac would have, I'm confident in saying Mac would have been a better player on the Niners than Trey Lance, but you wouldn't have drafted him where they drafted Trey. If you drafted him anywhere in the first round, that would have been a bad pick, right? Even if he'd been a better player. Brock Purdy's better than him, so they wouldn't be in a better situation necessarily. Now, Brock might have just taken his job. Brock might have just taken Mac's job. But Mac would have been better than Trey Lance on the Niners, but the value wasn't there either. Like at the end of the day, you're not trying to hit a single in the first round. Mac Jones was like a single. Trey Lance was a swing and a miss. So I don't know. I mean, if the Niners had gotten a starting quarterback on a rookie deal, then that would have been a moderate success, right? So in a way, Mac Jones would have been that. But in the end, it's a net loss because he's not good enough. So if you invest 2-3 years in a guy, 4 years maybe, in a guy that's not good enough, even if you can make him better than somebody else can make him, then what's the point? You've just wasted time. If Mac's their quarterback, I don't think they're in the Super Bowl this year, you know, because Brock's better than him. So Robo says, I don't get all the Zach Wilson hate. We're talking about the backup's backup. He's actually his physical talent. Maybe you could convert him into a tradable asset down the road. And if not, who cares? I think on Darnold, it was easy to say, if not, who cares? Because Sam can fit into a locker room. The concern with Zach is he doesn't quite know his place in New York, didn't know how to handle being the guy. Now, New York is a lot of pressure, but you still can treat your teammates when you speak of them publicly correctly. And the feeling is that he doesn't quite know how to do that, that he's immature. I mean, and I don't think that the Niners really have a place for immaturity if it's not, you're willing to deal with immaturity if it's like, all right, this guy's an elite corner, but he's immature. He's a receiver, but he's immature. We'll work with that. I don't know. Brock handles himself so well. Brandon Allen handled himself so well. Do you want an immature guy as your other quarterback in that locker room? It just seems like it's an unnecessary add. Now, I think the counter would be, hey, if the Niners are a stew, they have such great ingredients that adding a little too much of some other thing isn't going to disrupt the flavor profile. But I just wouldn't even mess with it. I agree with that comment. He is very talented. But it seems it's It's not high risk. I don't think there's much risk. I don't think Zach's going to come in and like disrupt the locker room, but it's not as low risk as Darnold, who was like a total fit in, just a dude's dude, easy to hang with the fellas. I don't know. I just wouldn't even invite it. He was also on his third team. You know, Zach Wilson's looking for team two. I don't know. I don't know what the humility score is, but doesn't feel high. All right. That's that for this. I got a roll. This was a good little Monday morning. Coming up on Tuesday or Wednesday. Probably not. We'll see. Before the tournament starts, if you're going to do a bracket, you got to hear my guy, Casey Jacobson, who knows college basketball. I mean this better than anybody. Nobody knows it better. Maybe as good. Dude is dialed in. He went from the Pac-12 championship on Fox on Saturday to the AAC championship on Sunday. So that's everything in between. He's got it dialed. So we'll give you some bracket advice. I know it's mostly football here, but everybody's got the bracket out. So we'll do the bracket advice and he'll give you some good stuff coming up. Johnny says North Carolina. Harrison Ingram looking like a dude. Cormac Ryan putting up points. North Carolina. I actually was thinking about North Carolina this morning. I was thinking about the Tar Heels this morning. I think a lot of people are going to take UConn. Purdue is hot. Illinois won the Big Ten yesterday. Is Purdue going to do the Virginia? Are they losing the first round as a one seed and then come back and win the national title? I don't know, but we'll get Casey's takes on that. Okay. That's that for this Monday morning live show. Hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, podcast, all that, and appreciate y'all being here. Appreciate y'all. Oh, let's get a little. Yeah. All right. That's it. Thanks for hanging, everybody. Talk to you soon. Later.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.